All right.
Pray for President, our nation.
Yeah. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over President Trump and Vice President Pence and our leaders. Father, we thank you that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against them shall be condemned. This is their heritage as servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of the Lord. We thank you, Father, that you cause their enemies that rise up against them to be defeated before their face. They come out against them one way and flee before them seven ways. Father, we thank you that your hand is on them and that your spirit is guiding them in ways to honor this nation, not only this nation, but honor you and honor this whole world, Father, and bring your righteous cause into effect. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I read an interesting prophecy that is kind of wild, but they passed it along. But the whole prophecy was the Dodgers would win the World Series. Amy Coney Barrett would be confirmed as a judge. And then President Trump would be reelected. So we've got two out of three. And he said the women of this nation are going to stand up. And they're going to bring an end to this abortion crisis that's going on. So they're going to get rid of the Jezebel spirit in this nation. So get geared up, ladies. You got a job. All right. Can I have somebody help me with the communion? And we will. Jesus said to take this as often as you will. You know, you can take it monthly, you can take it weekly, you can take it daily. You can take it three times a day if you want to. I heard the interesting thing. You know, people get a bad report from the doctor. They'll go to the doctor and the doctor will tell them, say, you got to take this medicine three times a day. And you got to take it with food and water, three times a day. They won't miss it. They'll take it three times a day, morning, noon, and night, with water, just exactly the way the doctor said. And he's a man. He's not God. He's not a fire from the loins up. Jesus said, take this as often as you will. You can take this the same way you take medicine from a doctor. You get attacked. You get an attack in your body, I would say go to communion first. Amen? But Paul said to discern the Lord's body. When we look at this bread, we notice that this is made without yeast. There's no sin in his body, ever. That's why when he took our place, we got into such a blessed position. Also, this bread has stripes in it, and it's by his stripes we were healed. So we look at this bread, and we see his body. We see his stripes. We're receiving his healing for our body. He told his disciples, take this. You're taking my life into you. Well, this is the same guy they seen walk on water, raise the dead, heal the lepers. Can you imagine the excitement? They're taking his life into their body, the guy they never ever seen sick, not once. Also, this bread has been beaten flat. He was beaten and bruised for us. And this bread is slightly burned. He's the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on him, and his body was broken. Everything was for us that he did on in his death, burial, resurrection for was for us. So we're taking this for our healing and our well-being. Jesus' blood was shed on purpose. It was a bloody sacrifice. And it was all for us. Every drop of blood that he shed was for us. When he shed his blood out of his back, it was for our healing. When he got on his cross and shed his blood, it wiped away our sins. And it made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. His blood seals in the New Testament promises for us. So we can receive these blessings from God. We thank you for this. Okay, I guess you can go to children's church now. I think Connie's got stuff for you.
I do.
All right. Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 4, verse 8, and this will be the base of our sermon. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit who's always here to teach us and guide us. We thank you, Father, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. So as we look into your word, we know that we can learn of Jesus and we can get the revelation of your word into our hearts so that we know how to operate in this kingdom the way you desire us to. Did you know that you're blessed because you're forgiven? There's a lot of people who have a lot of mixed up ideas on why they're blessed. But you're blessed because you are forgiven. And we're going to see just how big that really is. Romans chapter 4, verse 8. Says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. See, I thought for a long time he was keeping track. And I figured, you know, someday I would cross the line and he'd just have to zap me at some point. I didn't know, you know. But there's a lot of preachers that will give the impression that God's keeping track of these sins. You got to know that the blood of Jesus was washed, has washed away those sins, all of them, past, present, and future. You have a waterfall of forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and live like an idiot and do things that you know are wrong. You know, because there is consequences, but it's not God getting you. You know there's a devil running around out there? I mean, sometimes people act like the devil has no part of this and they blame God. Well, why did God take my baby? He didn't. He didn't do that. You know, there's a devil out there. You know, there's things that you can do to protect your baby before that thing is even conceived. Before that baby's even born. You know, we have a part, you know, parents have a part in this. You know, but it's interesting. I've ministered to several people that have had miscarriages and got to minister to them and encourage them and show them in the Bible where they can protect from that. Next thing you know, they're back in church having healthy, whole kids. Amen. Amen. But, you know, you could avoid a lot of the crashes in life by getting in the Bible. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 6, you don't have to go there, but it tells us that blessings are upon the head of the just. Blessings are upon the head of the just. One of the things that you have to understand about the new creation realities is when you get born again, you get justified freely by His grace. That tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, you know, you get justified freely by His grace. That's because of the blood of Jesus. When you get born again, you get justified freely. Actually, when the Holy Spirit raised Jesus back to life, that's when you got justified. When the Holy Spirit raised Jesus back to life, you got justified. You got judged. When Jesus was on the cross, your sins got judged. And then when the Holy Spirit brought Him back to life, He got justified freely by His grace. Nothing you could have done about it. The meaning of this word justified, you get to understand sometimes these words have meanings that you got to look up. The meaning of this is you have been declared or made righteous in the sight of God. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Literally tells us that. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Everything, absolutely everything in your life is going to boil down to righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. Amen? It doesn't mean right behavior. It means right standing with God. Because of what He did. If it was about right behavior, then Jesus wouldn't have needed to get on the cross. We'd be back under the law and we'd have to behave right. But Jesus got on the cross because God found fault with that old covenant. So He made a new covenant with us. And now Jesus was the sacrifice. And He got on there and He paid the penalty for us. Said He became a curse, being made a curse for us. For cursed is any man that hangs on a tree. And He justified, He set us free. He redeemed us from the curse of the law when He did that. Now you're back in right standing with God. Amen. There's an old thing going around that people will say that sin breaks your relationship with God. And that's not true. That's not true. It may mess up your fellowship, but it doesn't break your relationship. It doesn't even mess up your relationship. See, as people on this earth, you know, as a mama holds her baby and raises that baby and starts teaching him how to walk, I've never seen one mom ever in my entire life turn that baby loose and watch him fall down and pick him up and said, "Now I've showed you this three times. If you don't figure it out, I'm done with you." That sounds foolish, doesn't it? People act that way with God, though. They think, "I've made this mistake three times. I've made this mistake five times. How can God put up with that?" Jesus told the man, said, "You shall forgive your neighbor 70 times seven." Every day. That was under the law. Under grace, God gave us 1 John 1:7. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. See, we have to understand this. We're a work in progress, you know, in a lot of ways. But Jesus did a perfect work in you. When you got born again, God did a perfect work in you. You've been made perfect in His sight. So we have these earthen vessels. So that means we're still attached to the flesh. So that means we're always going to have a tendency to mess up. Amen? Well, we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus. He's our high priest. And he ever lives to make intercession for us, his saints. I wish I could follow my notes today, but the Holy Spirit is doing his own thing. I had some really cool notes. But he wants you to know that you're blessed because he is not keeping track of your sins. They've been paid for and washed away. You know, there was two brothers named Jacob and Esau. And Jacob was a ruffian. You know, he lived he liked to be outdoors a lot. And Jacob was a mama's boy. He stayed close and he was frail. Well, one day Jacob was out hunting and he came back home and he was really, really hungry. Jacob was the oldest. He was born first. But Jacob was really, really hungry, and Esau was really, really hungry. He come in from hunting. Jacob was in there cooking. And Esau said, "I need some food. I'm about ready to die. Give me some food." And Jacob, being subtle, he said, "Sell me your birthright for this bowl of beans." Jacob said, "Yeah, what good is my birthright going to do me when I'm about to die?" So he did. I doubt Jacob was going to starve to death at that very minute. But how many people give up their blessings with God because there's something else that they can get right now? Instant gratification is sometimes your worst enemy. You know, sometimes people will just settle for something that's okay instead of God's best because they can get it now. You know, too many times people will spend their life working instead of stopping and taking time to just go be with God. Go to church. You know, sometimes there are more important things than money. Did you know that? Now, you better make hay while the sun's shining. I mean, don't get caught sitting on your butt while you're believing God for the blessings. Get some leather gloves on and go to work. Amen? But believe him to be your supply, the source of your supply. And watch him bless the work of your hands. Too many times, and pastors, there's some pastors I've seen that were guilty, terrible guilty of this. Sit around whining because they're broke. They think that the church should carry it all for them. You know, if the church is a big enough congregation, then yeah, the pastor should be living well. But there's times when that pastor needs to get some gloves on his hands and go do something. Amen? And then once his congregation gets big enough where they can carry the full weight of that stuff, then it's okay. But I've seen a lot of pastors fail because of that very reason. They didn't want to get up and go to work. So they quit. And then they had to go to work. But anyway, Jacob ended up with this head right. And it was getting time for Isaac to give this blessing to the firstborn. And he told Esau to go out and get him something to eat. Well, Jacob, mom, told him to go butcher this kid real fast. Put hair on put that skin of that goat on your arm so you're hairy like Esau. Can you imagine having a hairy kid? Hairy enough, a goat arm, a goat hide would feel normal. You call him a caveman, knuckle dragger nowadays, man. But anyway, Jacob ended up with the blessing. He he got it, and it caused a big storm. But when God dealt with him, this is the important thing now. He was in a covenant because of Abraham. Remember that guy who believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness? Abraham was in a covenant with God, and it was a covenant of grace. You're in a covenant of grace. You know, Abraham didn't do everything all right. He made mistakes. And then Isaac, like father, like son, he ended up making some of the same mistakes. And then Jacob fell in line with Isaac. He made some mistakes. But look here at Genesis chapter 28, verse 13, dealt with Jacob. Genesis chapter 28, verse 13 says, and behold, well, verse 12. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and to thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That sounds a lot like the same conversation God had with Abraham. When he was telling him about his descendants, your seed is going to be as many as the stars in the sky. He said, look up and count those stars if you can. That's how many kids you're going to have. Sound familiar? The blesser passed the blessing down to Jacob, even though he dealt subtly with his dad and his brother. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. You know, when Adam was in the garden, evidently him and God would walk together in the cool of the morning. And God had so much confidence in Adam that he told him to name the animals, all of them. And you can't find one account in the Bible of God ever changing the name of one single animal. He named all those animals, all of them. And they visited face to face. He was in right standing with God. Now when he sinned and ate of that fruit, he fell out of right standing with God. He was no longer in right standing. And God had to take him out of the garden, out of his presence. Not because God was mad at him. But the tree of life was in there. And he couldn't let Adam eat of that tree of life and live forever in that sin state. Amen? So he had to take him out of the garden and put them swords up there at the gate so he couldn't get back in. He could not get back in the presence of God. And then for generation after generation after generation, this is where the Middle Eastern religions and a whole bunch of these religions come from. This is man's attempt to get back in contact with God. All these different things were man's attempt to get in contact with God. And it failed miserably. There was only one way, and it had to be God's way. See, Jacob had that ladder. It was a vision of that ladder with them angels going up and down from heaven to earth. God had a better way. He built a bridge from heaven to earth, and it took two boards, three nails, and one lamb. Only through Jesus can we have contact with God. Man gets frustrated in his fellowship with God because he doesn't understand that the blood of Jesus so totally washed away your sins that there's nothing wrong with you, and that your fellowship with God can flourish if you'll stand in that revelation. The New Testament realities, the new creation realities that we had to get a hold of have been avoided. Sometimes it makes people uncomfortable. But you have to understand that this bloody sacrifice that Jesus went through was on purpose. And it was for you. So that you could have this right, first of all, relationship when you get born again. And then this right fellowship with Him. Now in the Old Testament, they had a high priest. And as the high priest was, so were the people. See, the people could be rat finks. They could be running around out there living in debauchery. But as long as the high priest had the temple in order and was doing things right, the people were safe. Now, the people, on the other hand, they could be really good people. They could be working hard. They could be doing the right things. They could be doing what they were supposed to. But if the high priest was a rat fink and didn't have the temple in order, the people were toast. As the high priest was, so were the people. Now, Jesus got on the cross. He didn't deserve to be on the cross, but he got on the cross to take our penalty for what we did so that we could take his place for what he deserved. And Jesus became a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is important to understand. So all them other old high priests back in the old days, they were from the order of Aaron. I mean, the law takes from people. If they didn't do things right, it took something from them. It exacted a revenge. But the order of Melchizedek is a priesthood that only gives. You know, the first thing that Melchizedek said to Abraham when he met him after the slaughter of kings, he said, "Blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth." That's pretty much everything. Jesus became a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now he stands in the presence of God, our high priest. How do you suppose God sees Jesus? I think he sees him pretty favorably, don't you? Well, the Bible tells us, as he is, so are we now in this world. As Jesus is, so are we now in this world. Do you suppose Jesus is sitting in a position of blessing? I would say so. As he is, so are you now in this world. Amen. See, we need to see what Jesus did on the cross and learn from these types and shadows from the Old Testament. We see these things from the Old Testament. We need to learn from that. Don't go back into the Old Testament looking for something to do. Go back in there and seeing these types and shadows of Jesus and see what he did. See, in the Old Testament, Jesus was concealed. In the New Testament, he's revealed. He brings it right out to the open. He started telling us who he was. And then he started, in the epistles, he started teaching us who we are in him. See, it's important to understand that you've been justified freely by his grace. That means every sin you ever committed was judged on that cross. And when God raised Jesus back to life, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you got justified freely by his grace. Justified, never sinned. Think about that for just a second. Just as if you'd never, ever made a mistake. Not one single time in your life. That's the way God sees you, through the blood of Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. When you get born again, you get baptized into the body of Christ. That's the one baptism that's necessary to salvation, is to be born again. That's what happens. When you get born again, you get baptized into the body of Christ. Your life is hid in Him. You've been immersed in Him. Amen? I had a lady one time come up to me and tell me, she said, are you telling me that I don't have to be water baptized to get to heaven? I said, absolutely. She said, I want in that water. She said, I always knew that in my heart. I just could never get a preacher to say that. So we dunked her right away. She was just waiting. She wanted to be baptized for the right reasons. Amen. She just needed to find somebody that agreed with it. You've got to understand the power of the blood of Jesus. And stop looking at yourself in the natural. Stop looking at your own weaknesses. Stop looking at your mistakes. And look at Jesus and what He did in His life. In His burial, His death, burial, and resurrection. And the cost that it took. He took the penalty of your sin. You know something about Jesus. He'll take the penalty of your sin. He'll take the pleasure out of it too. You ever notice? After you got born again, it's not real comfortable doing things wrong. He'll take the pleasure out of it. But He doesn't want you to be an old fuddy-duddy and sit there and not have any fun. You know, I can't go out and have fun. I can't do nothing. I got to stay home. I got to read my Bible. I got to... No, you can go have fun. But you can go out and have fun without sinning. Did you know that? But when you became His child, you became a new creature in Christ. And a new creature has no past. It's all been done away with. You don't have to live regretting your past anymore. You don't have to worry about your past anymore. What He wants you to concentrate on is your here and now and your future. He says you have a good future. Now here's the thing. God wants you to have a righteousness conscience, not a sin conscience. You can tell if you have a sin conscience. If you have a sin conscience, you spend a lot of time fretting and worrying about the past. But if you have a righteousness conscience, you have an expectation of the future. A good expectation of something good. There's always something good right around the corner. There's always something good about ready. There's a blessing about ready to hit me in the face. And you get focused on the one that's about to hit you in the face and one runs you over from behind. That's a righteousness conscience. You're in right standing with the Father. You're not afraid of judgment. You know that Jesus took your judgment on the cross. And now you've taken your place in the family and you expect the good things that God has for you. That's how you receive from them. You say, thank you, Father, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, that I'm the healed of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for supplying all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We all have learning curves. But the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, to meditate on the Word day and night. That's how you get it in your heart. You find that promise in the Bible, and you meditate on it, and you make it a part of you. See, that's you. You're going to find yourself in the Bible. You'll find yourself in there, you meditate on that, and you get that Word in your heart, and then you'll be strong enough to say, "Thank you, Father. By His stripes I was healed." Amen. Thank you, Father, for the angels that protect me day and night. Amen. He sends His angels. Angels hearken to the voice of His Word. But they have to have His Word in the atmosphere for them to get moving. Amen. Did you notice that? People get confused. They say angels hearken to the voice of God. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the angels hearken to the voice of His Word. And if these angels have been sent to be heirs, have been sent to be ministers to the heirs of salvation. That means God sends these angels your way to help you, to protect you. But you got to get His Word out there so they have something to do. See, He needs a little cooperation from y'all. You're going to have to be one of those name it and claim it guys for a little bit. But you're going to do it biblically right. You're going to do it biblically sound. You're going to take His Word and you're going to put it in the atmosphere. You're not going to put a bunch of foolishness out there. You're going to put His Word out there. And you're going to reap the benefits because you're sowing good Word into your heart. And God's going to cause that to grow in your heart. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy and your love. Everything that you have given to us freely with Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for everything that Jesus did for us in His death, burial, and resurrection. Now He's our high priest, making intercession for us. That means when we pray your word back to you, He'll take anything of the flesh and cut it off and present our prayers to you perfectly in the name of Jesus. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and streusel back here. Everybody's welcome to come back and have some fellowship.